Hey everybody, I'm Eric, and today I watched WWE 2017 Week 20, Day 1 is H? What does that even mean? This week ran from May 15th through 19th, as far as the weekly show, not even the weekly show, the weekly shows plus the WWE UK Championship Special, which aired on Friday the 19th, which is a setup for one of the matches on NXT TakeOver Chicago. So it's important to watch as for part of the predictions going into this weekend. I will be doing an episode about NXT TakeOver Chicago and Backlash, and I'm really excited for that. You'll see why when that episode comes out. But in the meantime, let's talk about this week's shows. We had Raw, episode 1251, SmackDown 926, 205 Live number 25, Main Event number 242, NXT number 392, and the UK Championship Special. And we also had Finn Balor's episode of WWE 24. That was awesome. This is actually the first episode of WWE 24 that I've watched the whole thing. And it doesn't even count. The other one that I've watched part of, I've only watched like 5 minutes of it, because I was like, oh, this is long, and I don't really remember much about WrestleMania Dallas anyway. And I definitely didn't know any of the stories going into it. So I didn't really think about that much. And then they had another one, WrestleMania Monday, about the Monday after that. And I don't really remember much about that either. And then everything before that is also stuff before I started watching. So Finn Balor's episode of WWE 24 is the first one that I know like the whole story of, because of watching it as it was happening and all of that. Anyway, so let's talk about that first. This episode of WWE 24, not a whole lot of stuff that I didn't know already, just from reading all of the like updates about it and the supplementary like WWE exclusive videos, and then the updates on the shows, the TV show called WWE Monday Night Raw. What is it actually called? Raw, whatever the real name for Raw is. But it was really cool to see like the backstage. Actually, there is more. There's some great stuff that you may not know before seeing this documentary, like the people that were with him and kind of the process of everything, and the different steps of the recovery and all that type of stuff. And then kind of the hopes for when he'd be able to return, what would he be doing when he returns, and all that kind of stuff was in there a little bit as well. Plus how good of friends some of the other superstars are. I'm sure there are a lot of them who are good friends to him who we don't see in this episode as well, but it was cool to see the people we do see in this episode, and kind of the joy that they have when he is finally back in the ring and all that kind of thing. And then we also have his appearance at Over the Top, their Christmas show, I think it was. And that was really cool to see too. So kind of spoilers. Well, you know what happens ultimately if you're up to date on all the shows. But there's a lot of great stuff. It's about an hour long, and I watched that instead of, I almost would have left this out of this episode talking about it, except that it was about how it was more than half as long, but it's 40 minutes shorter than watching the UK Championship Special at in the time frame that I had to watch it early this morning, and then I watched the UK Championship Special later on. So anyway, it was a really cool episode, and now I do want to check out some of these other ones. We got WrestleMania Silicon Valley and all these, but I want to watch the events that they're about first, which I haven't seen these. I haven't seen WrestleMania 31. I haven't seen WrestleMania 30, which is the very first episode of WWE 24. And yeah, so as I watch them, I'll sprinkle them throughout future reviews. I might not get to these. I probably won't have time to get to these and keep up on all of the current shows until after I get back from tour this summer. I will post new episodes every week from the road. And they'll be kind of like last year's, except I won't do an individual one for every episode as I have been doing since January of this year. Just doing the weekly episodes and then separate for the pay-per-views. So anyway, that's the plan. I'll get to watching these other WWE 24s. If there are new ones that come out while I'm on tour, I will definitely watch those because it's safe to assume that they'll be about stuff that I've actually watched in the last year and change. Okay. All right. So I have my top seven episodes for this week, excluding WWE 24. But I did include that in my non-wrestling segments. There's the whole episode I count as a segment. But my number one favorite show of this week was the UK Championship Special. Number two was 205 Live. Number three was NXT. Number four was Talking Smack. Number five was SmackDown. Number six was Main Event. And then number seven was Raw. My favorite wrestling match was Tyler Bate versus Mark Andrews. Okay, all three of my top three were from the UK Championship Special, and I tried to make a secondary list, like if I just exclude that, and I could only come up with one match to put on there. Everything else was like, nothing else this week really stood out to me very much. We had some great matches, particularly from the Cruiserweights on 205 Live and Main Event, but it wasn't enough to be like, okay, I'm going to go and make this second list. We did get Cruiserweight action on the UK Championship Special, but my favorite match of the week was Tyler Bate versus Mark Andrews. Second favorite, Pete Dunne versus Trent Seven. And then my third favorite was TJP and the Brian Kendrick versus Don Maloney and Rich Swann on the UK Championship Special. That was a pretty fun match. It was a pretty fun match, and I'll talk about it a little bit more when we get to that. And then my number one non-wrestling segment, quote-unquote segment, Finn Balor's episode of WWE 24. My number two, actually, that might be my number two favorite thing. Number one, Fashion Files, Fashionable Intent, was fantastic. And then my number three favorite non-wrestling segment was Eric Rowan on Talking Smack. All right, we have a lot to talk about that I'm not going to talk about very much. There's so much to watch this week. Oh my God. I am almost a little bit sick of everything, but I am excited for TakeOver and Backlash. So the sick of it was kind of erased by watching the UK Championship because that was awesome. And I like compared to that, like everything else this week was like kind of lame. Anyhow, we find out on Raw. I'll go through Raw first. We're going to have a fatal five-way at Extreme Rules to determine the number one contender for the Universal Championship, which means that we have two pay-per-views in a row that Brock Lesnar does not have a match to defend that championship. It's like it's being defended less than the UK championship, and the UK championship doesn't even have a show yet that it's home to. So, you know, it's kind of like who even cares now? Once somebody who is actually on the show every week has that title, then we'll start to care, probably, maybe, hopefully. We also learned that Braun Strowman is out for a long time, 6 months for his elbow injury. And I don't know if it's a real injury or not, or if it's just a way to keep him out of things for a little bit so they don't have to keep escalating the craziness of what he's doing to keep everyone interested. Him being away for a little while gets other people in action against for the Universal Championship, but even then, that's not going to happen for another 2 months or whatever until Great Balls of Fire. If that's the next time that Brock Lesnar defends the championship, that's ridiculous. And it is. That is the next time he will defend the championship. Oh my gosh. Anyway, the five people in this match, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, and Roman Reigns, they all come out in a certain sequence and say things. Say, nope, I'm going to win. Nope, I'm going to win. And then they break out into fights, and we get a couple of matches out of that made by Kurt Angle later on. All right, we had Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus, kind of a revenge match for Sheamus kicking out Jeff's tooth. Jeff Hardy wins with a twist of fate and the Swanton from the top of the turnbuckle. Then we have Dean Ambrose versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. They're not going to wait till the next pay-per-view, which is about 78 weeks away. They're going to do it right now. And Dean Ambrose kicks out the skull-crushing finale, which is a bit of a shock. And then as Maryse gets involved, as she always does, The Miz goes for a low blow. Dean catches it. It was kind of a weird catch. He didn't like block it like a kung fu move. It was kind of like his hand is sneaking up underneath my legs. I'm gonna reach down softly and grab a hold and hold tight. And oh yeah, something like that. And then Dean hits The Miz with a low blow of his own. He kicks him in the junk. And he is disqualified. So The Miz wins, but Dean Ambrose retains the Intercontinental Championship. The Miz is not happy about this, and that will develop later on. He demands a no disqualifications match. In fact, he demands that a match in which a disqualification wins the title for the other person, so that stuff like that can't go on. So it's different from a no disqualifications match. It's a no champions advantage match, I guess, is what it might be called. That's what I'm going to call it. At Extreme Rules. Is that an extreme rule? That's like the opposite of Extreme Rules. That's like you had to try really hard to follow the rules. That is a different kind of extreme, I suppose. Anyway, we had one of the greatest lines of the week describing what The Miz was trying to do. Corey Graves says, it looks like a strong style inner thigh grab to me. Next, we had Alexa Bliss talking about some stuff. The Bayley comes out and says, I want a rematch. And then Alexa finds a kendo stick and whap hits Bayley in the back of the shoulders with it. It looked pretty painful. Took her out of action quite a bit. And so Bayley and Kurt Angle are talking to the back later. And Kurt says, hey, look, you can just have a normal match for your rematch at Extreme Rules. And Bayley's like, no, I'm ready to get extreme. Team Extreme. Yeah. She didn't say that. But she says, no, make it an extreme match. And so we have a kendo stick on a pole match for the Raw Women's Championship at Extreme Rules. So that'll be... that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting. Next up, we had Finn Balor, the one of two main events, I guess. Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns. Now, I have not spoken kindly of Roman Reigns very much in the past, but at least one time per match, in most matches, there's at least one moment where I think, oh, that was really cool. What Roman did just then was really cool. And in this match, it was this lightning quick Samoan drop. Now, I looked up a highlight reel of Samoan drops, like the best ones from all over the place over the years. And there were a couple of them that were like way, way cooler. But this one, it took me by surprise. My jaw dropped and I was like, oh, that was impressive. Because it was so quick and it was so smooth. The smoothness, I thought, rivaled that of Goldust or Randy Orton's or Samoa Joe's snap, scoop, power slam. And to give me that feeling of wow, that was nice. That's pretty impressive. So props to Roman Reigns for that. But otherwise, I am pretty disappointed that he won this match with a spear. Finn put up an incredible fight. I was certain that Finn Balor was going to win this match. He won against Roman Reigns the last time that he fought him, which was the night of his debut. Not only did he won another match earlier in that night and then fought another match and won that against Roman Reigns. So anyway, moving on. there's some great sequences in there. He dodged a spear earlier in the match, which sent Roman right into the post, the ring post. But he was a little bit slow to get up top for the coup de grace, and that's when Roman Reigns was able to get the upper hand and hit that spear to win. And then we had... Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the claims of real estate on Raw. We have "This is my yard." "This is my yard now," claimed by Roman Reigns from The Undertaker. Kurt Angle says, "This is my show." And then Bray says, "Well, this may be your show, but this is my world." And then Finn Balor says, "Well, this is my universe." So there's nothing bigger than the universe. Unless Matt Hardy comes along and says, "This is my multiverse," which would include the universe. So I think that's the obvious next step in the claims of owning parts of time and space. And that brings us to Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt. Seth wins via disqualification when Samoa Joe interferes later on in the match. We get a double beatdown on Seth Rollins, and then they look like they're all buddy-buddy, Bray and Samoa Joe, but Bray Wyatt hits Samoa Joe with the Sister Abigail. He has a little bit of a tee-hee moment. I could actually kind of hear it just from looking at him. And then he hits the Sister Abigail on Seth, and then we get the "Follow the Buzzers" afterwards to end the night. If we have somebody posted a photo album of all of like the last images of every episode of Raw in some time period, I think it was like a whole year, or it might have been through like a whole. It was a specific time period that they did it from. If they do it for this year, it's going to be every episode will be a picture of Bray Wyatt doing the "Follow the Buzzards" thing, or at least like 10% of the year's episodes. Okay, so that was Raw. It was all right. Then we have Main Event, which aired on the 17th. This featured two original matches, Dana Brooke versus Nia Jax, which is actually pretty good. It's pretty good. We had Nia Jax win the match with a Samoan drop, and as she is about to do it, she says good night. And that was really cool. That was the like perfect execution of that. If she does that, I don't know. Has she done that before? She probably has. I just didn't appreciate it or notice it. But it was that was an awesome way to finish that match. So great, great job, those two. It was a fun one to watch. And then we had another fun match to watch About the 26-minute mark, if you're watching on on Hulu, we had Rich Swann versus Arya Daivari. We had a great move from Swann, a corkscrew tumbleweed to outside. That was really cool. Arya got in some great offense, but ultimately, Rich Swann was able to roll him up and get the win. So, kind of worth checking out. I would look at just the last few moments of Nia Jax versus Dana Brooke at the very least to see that that great finish. And yeah, that's it for main event. Onward to SmackDown. It kind of works out that things are in chronological order is also the order in which I ranked everything, because. Yeah, that's even though main event is aired technically on Wednesday or on Thursday if you're watching on Hulu, pretty much everything happened in order, except for 205 Live. That got switched around. But anyhow, we open up with Kevin Owens' highlight reel. He's stolen Chris Jericho's show, and he talks about some stuff. AJ comes out during a French introduction. And he says, I'm going to say this in English because I can. I'm going to beat you. Something like that. And then Jinder Mahal comes out. Kevin's like, he was my guest, not you. And then we get AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal wins with the help of the Singh brothers. And then Kevin Owens attacks AJ. No, that happened during the match, I think. He did it while the ref was distracted. He attacks AJ's knee with the U.S. championship. So if AJ does lose, I guess, okay, SmackDown is important because I'm going to talk about my predictions for Backlash. I think the only reason AJ would lose is because of that attack on his knee. And if Kevin continues that to focus on his knee, in their match on Sunday. But otherwise, I think we're looking at the new face of America that runs the place of America, AJ Styles. He hasn't been introduced as that lately, has he? I don't think so. Well, we didn't see his entrance because he was already out there for this match. Anyway, and then we had Fashion Files, Fashionable Intent. We have Undercover Breeze, the Master of Disguise. Talking about how SmackDown is filthy with fashion felonies. he demonstrates some of these, one being Corbin, who has three shirts, all wolves. And then they take a look at the Usos shirt. Day one is Ish. And they say, day one is H. What does that even mean? Our day one will be H. And yeah, this whole thing, it's much, much better just to watch it. But, yeah, I love these guys so much. Ever since their initial feud with, the Golden Truth and leading up to that, I've been all about these guys and I'm so glad that they're getting a lot more focus now. Not glad at all that, Heath Slater and Rhino, they're still a team. But they're just like there to get beat up by Cesaro and Sheamus over on Raw now. Anyway, we have Breezango versus the Colognes, and Breezango wins maybe via the Last Dance. I don't remember exactly. And then the Usos come out and cut another great promo. They say, read them their rights. And then they say all kinds of wacky stuff. It wasn't as weird and creepy as last week with licking backs and such, but it was still really cool. Next up, we had a contract signing for the six women tag team match, which was kind of weird to have a contract signing for that. But I guess it got all of them out there so that we saw all of them leading up to that match. And then it led into Carmella versus Naomi. With during the match, James Ellsworth, who's being a nuisance outside of the ring, he gets dismissed. He gets banned from ringside gets sent back to locker room. And then later on, the rest of the welcoming committee gets banned, and Becky and Charlotte just kind of wave bye. Bye. See you later. See you Sunday. And Carmella takes advantage of the brawl that ensues outside of the ring and rolls up Naomi for a win. It wasn't a championship match, so the title still belongs to Naomi, but we're probably going to see them go at it against it. Oh, this would be cool. This would be really cool. I was thinking about this. There's been talk and speculation, mostly just not fantasy, but the hopes all around the world that we have a women's Money in the Bank match, which would be really cool. So what if at Money in the Bank, we have a Money in the Bank ladder match with the women, and then we have Carmella versus Naomi for the championship. So we have two awesome women's matches. And that's all there is to it. Let's do it. And then so we could have one that's like dark blue for the men, and then one that's light blue, and that's the women's Money in the Bank briefcase. Then you know they don't get them mixed up. That's the main point of it. Yeah, same with Dolph Ziggler, and then something with Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin. They're going to have a match at Backlash, and then Corbin attacks Sami during the interview. It's like, you're going to talk about me, little man, or whatever he says. And then the main event, Randy Orton versus Baron Corbin. Randy Orton wins with an RKO. And it was a pretty good match. We have some great moves from both of these guys. Two clotheslines, a power slam, and a draping DDT. But it wasn't enough because the RKO was avoided. And Baron Corbin hit a tremendous deep six. But Randy Orton kicked out. He did his in and out slippy slide thing three times in this match, which is, I thought, was kind of excessive. And I think it goes to show not to use a single move too many times. The first time he did it, it was very successful. The second time, not so much. The third time, he got hit with the RKO when he did it, and that cost him the match. So I think there's a lesson to be learned there. If you're going to use a slick maneuver, use it once really well. Because any time after that, if you're facing a savvy opponent, they'll catch on the next time and they'll be ready for you. Jinder Mahal comes out, says some stuff, and they attack, and there's a fight, and then Randy Orton sprawled out in the middle of the ring after the Cobra clutch slam and the 3-on-1 attack. So, yeah, we'll talk about my predictions shortly. On Talking Smack, we get the news of Baby Birdie Danielson, Brie Bella and Brian Daniels' baby girl, who was born this week. That was really sweet. And then we had Jinder on. He's irate that Renee said that she was shocked that he won that number one contendership match. And he gives some reasoning to why he thinks he'll win. He knows he'll win at Backlash because he says that Randy Orton isn't as hungry as he used to be. This is a new era, and Randy is beatable. He has shown that in the matches that he's had against him, whether it's singles matches or not. Well, none of them are really singles matches now, are they, with those Singh brothers? And then Renee asks him, what is your relationship to the Singh brothers? And Jinder's like, I'm not going to talk about that. This isn't the time. Kind of a weird deflection for a very innocent question. Well, maybe it's not so innocent at all. Maybe he's their clones, or they're his clone. They're clones of him that have gone awfully wrong, like in Multiplicity, when that third generation clone wasn't doing so well. Moving on, Eric Rowan comes out. He wants to show Shane and Renee something. He has a sack. He just slaps it on the table. Something that I made. It makes me smile. I don't know if that's... I have not thought about how his voice sounds. This is like the first time I've heard him say more than like a couple of words. But anyway, he has a bunch of masks. But the first one he pulls out is like a clown lamb mask, a sheep clown. And he gives Renee a balloon and promptly pops it. And it scares the crap out of her. And he laughs like a maniac. And he even shivers. He's laughing so much that he shivers at the end of his laughter. It was great. Anyway, go watch the segment. I wrote down a bunch of quotes from him and stuff. Just watch it. It's super weird, and I love it. It's almost as good as... Okay, why did I put this as only number two? Oh, yeah, because those other things didn't happen on this Talking Smack. It's almost as good as Creepy Rhino Santa Claus. So if you enjoyed that, you got to check this out. He even sits in Renee's chair. Makes her very, very, very uncomfortable. But it's like a different kind. It's like, I'm afraid that this guy, I might be dying right now just being near him. As opposed to, stop leering at me. Gross. And then we had Becky, Charlotte, and Naomi on talking about the Snakes and Thistle, the welcoming committee. It seemed a lot like Becky was trying to make Charlotte laugh the entire time, and she was mostly successful. So that was kind of watching the game of that was really fun. And Talking Smack, better show than SmackDown this week. Up next, 205 Live, my second favorite show of the week. We open with a little bit of a recap of what happened on Raw. Aries says that TJP is more like Neville's lapdog, a Pomeranian. And this leads us into Noam Dar versus Graham and Talik. Noam Dar pulls off the impossible and wins with a dropkick. This is after he absorbs a brutal attack to the chest, to the heart. And Corey Graves explains this, that luckily Noam Dar has three times the heart of a normal man. Referring, of course, to his love for Alicia Fox. Next week, we'll have the Brian Kendrick versus Akira Tozawa in a street fight. This suits the Brian Kendrick just fine, because that spells danger for Tozawa. Because he can do anything and everything, including using his own chant against him. Then we have Tony Nese versus Mustafa Ali, which doesn't even begin as Drew Gulak attacks Mustafa Ali during his entrance, and he basically ties him up in the corner, sets him up for that running Nese right to the face, and Mustafa Ali... he's out cold. He is out cold in the no-fly zone. Now, if I hadn't seen anything else leading up to this, I didn't know who Drew Gulak was. He's wearing his suit that he wears when he protests. I would have thought, why is this accountant attacking this beautiful man? Next up, we have a backstage segment where Noam Dar is trying to get back at Swan for his cruel, cruel pranks on Alicia Fox and himself. A delivery man comes up to Rich Swann and says, I have a package for Rich Swann. He says, oh, no, that's not me. That's him over there. Points to Arya Daivari. So there's a couple of more beats to this segment, but ultimately Daivari ends up with a face full of baby powder. And Tom Phillips, I have never seen laugh so hard. It was delightful. To see how much joy he got out of saying that. So there we have it. The baby powder intended for Swan is all over Daivari. And so we're going to get some type of revenge at the hands of Daivari. Is he going to go after Rich Swan? Maybe. Is he going to go after Jack Gallagher? No, he kind of deflected that. He's like, let's not start this scoundrel business again. He may find out that the package came from Noam Dar, and we'll have a feud between those two. We'll see what finds out next week on 205 Live. And then our main event, TJP versus Austin Aries. Aries wins with the last chancery, and then Neville attacks and focuses on Aries is the already injured knee of Aries. Gallagher comes to the rescue. He follows up on his word last week that he said that he would have Austin Aries back. So next week, I have a feeling we're going to see another tag team match between Jack Gallagher, Austin Aries versus TJP and Neville. Although maybe we'll have Neville turn on TJP, kick him out. He's like, that was your last chancery and you got hit by the last chancery. What is a chancery anyway? There's a building on going up Lincoln here in Denver. And I'm sure it's the name of the company or whatever, but it just says chancery on this building. And it makes me think of Austin Aries. Okay, so chancery, I did not know this. I'm kind of dumb in some areas. It is a court of equity. Or it also might be a type of a building that houses a diplomatic mission or an embassy. So there we go. Onward and upward to this week's episode of NXT. Kind of a blow-off episode. We have a lot of recaps of everything going into the matches on Saturday at TakeOver Chicago. No matches were determined in this episode. We have some teasers for what's going to happen next week. One of those matches will be Drew McIntyre versus Blake Murphy. We get a promo after this first match between Drew McIntyre and Sean Maluda. Drew's eye gets busted open a little bit, and it kind of added in a great way to this match. It was like nothing that he's just bleeding from his eye, but he's still just dominating. We have these kind of poses from Drew early on in the match that really looks straight out. To me, it looks straight out of an anime or something, like I'm about to fight. And like, you can't see what I'm doing, but I like doing the poses that he's doing, just kind of with that swagger to him, and then the right hand out, like, check this out sort of thing. I don't know. I thought that was really cool. We got some chops from Sean Maluda early on in the match, and they like do nothing to Drew. It's like he's patting him on the chest. And then Drew fights back, and he just sends him straight to the ground with his reciprocal chops. It's kind of like a reciprocal saw. And then he just throws Maluda around a lot. But a codebreaker type maneuver from Maluda stuns Drew for a bit, and it might have been that move that hurt his eye there. But it just makes him mad. Hits him with a Yakuza kick, and gets the pin. During the replay, Nigel had the best line, like the best line that didn't make me laugh. It was just like the most appropriate description of the ending of this match. He says, count to 1,000 if you so desire. It's like, yeah, the match was done. We get an interview with Asuka as she's driving to Full Sail University there. And to her response to her first two questions, I don't even remember what the questions are. She just says, next question. Is this interview over? She gets out of the car and leaves. She's happy. The fans are going wild for her, the fans that are there to see her arrive. And she's very happy. She takes a picture with them. But then as soon as she turns the corner, she's just mad. Mad Asuka is going to kill a couple of ladies on Saturday night. Speaking of a couple ladies on Saturday nights, that was dumb. Lacey Evans versus Sonya Deville. That's the new ring name for Daria Baronato. Awesome match. It was kind of brutal. From the knee strikes to the kicks to the body scissors hold, and then a flurry of gut punches after she takes off her gloves. It looked like Sonya Deville was just going to dominate, but Lacey Evans gets her own offense in. She does a neck breaker into like a headstand slam thing. It reminded me a lot of Alexa Bliss's insult to injury. But I mean, as far as hitting a move going in one direction and then reversing directions to then hit again, two completely different moves from what the insult to injury is. But it's like that same idea of like that 1-2 hitting from both sides into the ground. I thought that was really cool. But in the end, a huge step up kick from Sonya Deville gets her the win. So great match. I'd say this was the best match of the episode. Well, maybe Drew McIntyre versus Shawn Miller. That was really great too. Those two matches were great. If I had to choose, even though I did give up technically on picking an alternate top three matches, Drew versus Maluda and Sonya versus Lacey are in those top three, definitely. And then we had Cassius Ohno versus Andrade Cien Almas. Cassius Ohno wins with a rolling elbow. At this point, I had watched pretty much everything all at once in a row. And so I was starting to lose a bit of focus. So I apologize for that. That's all I wrote down for the main event of this episode of NXT. But this episode of NXT was like 50% recap, highlight video things, big packages about the matches this Saturday. Then we had Rude come out. He says, "Come on, guys. Really? Hideo, Tommy, that guy's lame." Basically. And then a Tommy comes out. Regal says, no, stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. Security prove little obstacle for a Tommy. Hits two of them with the go to sleep and then is able to get his hands on Bobby Roode to hit him with the go to sleep as well. And Bobby Roode goes to sleep. And then we have the UK Championship special commentary by Jim Ross and Nigel McGuinness, which was fantastic. We had some valuable gems of wisdom from JR throughout the episode. The first such gem happened in this match. He said, "Don't take unusual chances," talking about top rope maneuvers and things like that. If it's not necessary, don't take that chance because it could come back to bite you in the butt. We had some amazing displays of strength from Wolfgang, especially in this match. He had an incredibly delayed suplex. And then his kind of signature senton bomb to finish the match. We also had an explanation of the hatred between these two guys from Nigel. He basically says, "You ever see Braveheart? Like that." Okay, thanks for explaining it so in depth that this Scottish fella and this English guy don't like each other. Anyhow, up next we had a 75% non-UK match, TJP and the Brian Kendrick, who last time they really interacted, they were at odds with each other for sure. So they've put their differences aside now that TJP has dropped the Irkins, and they face off against Don Maloney and Rich Swann. There were some great moments in this match. My favorite part was the arrogant and overconfident TJ Perkins. Without even looking in towards the ring, He grabs a hold of an arm, just starts wailing on it, attacking it, feeling all proud of himself. And he looks down outside of the ring and sees both of his opponents out there and realizes he's made a huge mistake. He's been attacking Brian Kendrick's arm the entire time. I tweeted this a few weeks ago. Basically, there is very little difference between dabbing seriously and dabbing to make fun of someone who's dabbing. Either way, you are still doing that arm gesture. And it's equally dumb or equally neat. Can't have it both ways. Come on now. Come on now. But maybe the crowd that's in support of TJ Perkins dabbing are the ones who are cheering when his opponents do it. Because they think, he's converted them. Next up, we had Pete Dunne versus Trent Seven in a number one contenders match for the UK Championship. Whoever wins this match would go on to face the UK champion at NXT TakeOver Chicago. Going into this match, Trent Seven has an injured right arm. And of course, that plays an important role in this match. Pete Dunne focuses on that arm, takes advantage of it as much as possible. It was really cool to see the Progress Championship on a WWE show. Pete Dunne is the current Progress Champion, and so he brought that belt out with him. That was neat. Some excellent stuff in this match. Too much to talk about. Just watch it. But the most notable thing that I think everybody's been talking about, everybody's been posting GIFs, Giphy cats, and screen caps and whatnots of the dragon suplex on the apron delivered by Trent Seven on Pete Dunne. That was killer. But ultimately, Pete Dunne wins the match with a bitter end, and he will go on to face the UK champion, whether that be Tyler Bates or Mark Andrews, who face off in the next match for the championship. He will face them at NXT TakeOver Chicago. And then we have Tyler Bates versus Mark Andrews. Another match just filled with fantastic. And surprisingly, you might expect there to be all kinds of high flying for Mark Andrews in this match, but not a whole lot of that. It's a very grounded match, and it's still super exciting. We have some very creative counters to holds, hold breaks from Mark Andrews, especially using his legs to help his arms get out of predicaments. We had two consecutive counters to the Tyler Driver that saved Mark Andrews' butt in that case. And I don't even know how to describe what happened. I made a sound that resembled the word what, but it was very high pitched. And I'm not sure if there were any actual syllables or any consonants that were enunciated when I said it. But that was really cool. We had a couple of shooting star presses later on, the running shooting star press, and then the one from the top of the turnbuckle. But Tyler Bate got his knees up, and that shooting star press from the top was Mark Andrews' downfall. We get the Tyler Driver 97. Tyler Bate retains the UK championship. He will go to defend the championship at NXT TakeOver Chicago. I've said NXT TakeOver Chicago way too many times, but I'll say it again. No, I won't. He'll defend his title against Pete Dunne. Dunne comes out. He attacks Mark Andrews, and Regal is hot on his heels. He prevents him from continuing the attack. We end the special with Regal looking disappointed at these two young men who stand side by side, Tyler Bates, quite confident, and Pete Dunne, just a total dick. So that's it for this week's shows. Let's talk about predictions. By far, the UK Championship special was the best thing about this week, and I was thinking about including it in the weekend episode, along with NXT TakeOver Chicago and Backlash. But since it is a setup to TakeOver Chicago, figured I should watch this. I should include it so I can include it in my predictions. So here we go. NXT TakeOver Chicago. I think Eric Young will defeat Roderick Strong. I think Pete Dunne will defeat Tyler Bate to become the new WWE UK champion. DIY has to beat Authors of Pain in this ladder match to become a two-time NXT Tag Team Championship team. I really hope that happens. Asuka will defeat Ruby Riott and Nikki Cross and continue her unending reign as NXT Women's Champion. And then Hideo Itami will put Bobby Roode to sleep once again to become the new NXT Champion. Moving on to the kickoff show for Backlash, we have Ty Dillinger versus Aiden English. Ty's got to continue his streak. He will defeat Aiden English, and Aiden English will cry some more. Eric Rowan will defeat Luke Harper with a multitude of masks distractions. And then Baron Corbin will defeat Sami Zayn because that's probably what will happen. And then Shinsuke Nakamura in his debut, his in-ring debut for SmackDown, will defeat Dolph Ziggler, the guy that's too bad to be too good. The welcoming committee will probably defeat Naomi, Becky, and Charlotte, whether it's because they have a plus one woman advantage with James Ellsworth, or if it's due to Charlotte feeling much too above all of this tomfoolery. What does she need friends for? I think that one way or another, the United Front will be taken down by the Snakes and Thistle. AJ Styles, I hope, defeats Kevin Owens for the U.S. Championship. But after that attack on AJ's knee, I think that will be a huge factor in giving Kevin Owens the advantage there. Breezango, I want Breezango to win, because I want more fashion files, and as champions, they'll have even more authority to seek out the Uggos and fine them for not being so fine. And then Jinder Mahal will probably defeat Randy Orton so that we have like a month of weirdness. So that's it for this week in WWE. Let me know what you think will happen at Backlash and TakeOver Chicago by tweeting me at TIW Podcast. Go to todayiwatched.com for more reviews. If you enjoyed this episode or anything else on the site, please share some links with your friends. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review on iTunes, and support the show even more at patreon.com/todayiwatched. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back real soon with an awesome, awesome episode about TakeOver Chicago. For the 80th time, I say TakeOver Chicago and Backlash 2017. See you then.